Arts and Education Committee, please come to order. This is Friday, April 4th, 2014. The time is 8:02 a.m. In attendance, myself, Stevens Chair, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Gerner, Senator Seven. We have a quorum. And we'll be considering Senate Bill 216 relating to child abuse prevention. You have before you a version C. C is for Senate Bill 216, version C, and ask for a motion to, as a working document.
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt SB 216, version C, as our working document.
Thank you. I'll object for discussion. We'll go to Senator McGuire's staff. Amy, thanks for being here. Can you tell us what we've got before us here?
Absolutely. Thank you. Good morning. For the record, my name is Amy Saltzman, and I'm staff to Senator McGuire. You have version C in front of you here. I can explain the changes. On the first page, we changed some of the language under subsection A, and the reason there is that the word notice was used in the first version of
the
bill.
You're talking about line...
Lines 10 through 13, okay. And then on... Specifically, it was on, I think it was, well, we changed the whole, actually, this whole wording.
Okay.
And mostly it was to change the word notice, and we wanted to change it to publication. And the reason is that notice was a little bit unclear. It was unclear because you were worried, you know, are you talking about notice to parents, or were you talking about a publication, a printed poster, a flyer, something that you'd have go home with a family. So just to add some clarity and to kind of bring it, you know, into light for some that were reading it and districts that would receive this. We changed the wording to say a governing body of a school district shall adopt and implement a policy, establish a mandatory training program for employees and students enrolled in grades K through kindergarten through 12, provide publications relating to sexual abuse and assault awareness and prevention to parents, students, and staff. And then on line 14, we changed notice to publications there as well, just to keep it all clear. The next change was on the second page, and we added a new subsection D. And this subsection here spoke about a parent's ability to opt out of this program. And just giving parents that choice if they so desired that they did not want their child to receive either the training or the publications, they have that ability. The other section that we amended, on page 2, we have lines 11 through 13. Oops, I got a little backwards there. Sorry about this. I'm sorry, let me back up. On lines 9, we added a subsection here, C. Should have spoken about that first.
That's okay. We understand D, and
we're going back to C.
Okay.
So in C, we added, so the training required in this section will be provided with the continuing education required for public school employees under 1866-310, and that was brought up in committee on Wednesday, and that was the required training for domestic violence that we require for all public employees in school. Teachers to have that training because they're mandatory reporters. And so adding that, adding this whole new, you know, the content of SB 216 into that section really allows for a connection with the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault to be able to work with school districts. And they'll be able to assist in the training programs. They'll be able to help implement them and be a really good resource. So that was a really important addition to this bill. The last change kind of coincides with that, and that's in Section 3, and that is the addition of E here, and it's lines 16 through 18. When providing the continuing education required under A of this section, an employer of public school employees may provide the training and information required under 1430-355. And so that's the, if you are doing the training on the sexual assault or on the domestic violence, you can also do this training at that same time. So that would reduce the time and the cost to districts so that they can do those trainings on the same day. They could have an in-service day and just have both of those trainings taken care of. So that's the training component, really, for the teachers, which will be really an asset. Those are the changes that we have. We had one more recommendation of a change, and that was to add an effective date of June 1st, 2016. And that would be important just because it would allow districts to have time to implement this. Also, the council has been doing work, and they have the 4th R program that they've been working on, and they'll have their results in August. So we'd be able to implement, you know, evidence-based programs that we know are working and are effective. So that would be that would also be an important addition.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate your comments, and we'll come back to that effective date. I think there's some comments, Senator.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
On page 2, line 11, section D, a parent or guardian of a student enrolled in grades kindergarten through 12 may decline the training or publications provided in the session on behalf of the child. Is there going to be a required notification so that a parent knows when this particular issue or topic is going to be dealt with? In other words, is it up to the parent to try and find out, or will they be notified as part of the law?
Senator Dunleavy, through the chair, that's an excellent question. I don't know the specifics to that. I can find out if we're going to be providing notice. I don't know if they do provide notice on the domestic violence training, or if, you know, if we have notices that are sent out. I would assume so, and it might be determined district by district how they choose to do that. But I can definitely find out for you.
The reason I bring it up, through the chair?
Yes, please.
Very difficult to decline the training if you don't know when the training is happening.
I understand that.
Anyway, that's a concern.
Okay.
Yes, Senator?
On that subject, Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to object to the inclusion of this language, but just as a cautionary note, sometimes it's the parent that is the perpetrator. And in those situations, I think it would be logical to assume that the parent would object to any of the training. So I think there is some perils to this type of language. The concept here is to protect the kids. Mm-hmm. And language like this may expose the kids to problems. As a personal example, I had an uncle, and my mother took my cousin to the doctor when she was in second grade because she was, you know, having some problems. The medical doctor, and that from that examination. Then preceded his arrest and incarceration, and my cousin from then on has had problems, and language like this I would expect in that case my uncle would have stepped in, blocked this education. And it was also affecting his stepdaughter. She was in eighth grade. I think my cousin was in second grade. So there is some perils to this type of language.
I think it's very true. Amy, could you tell us the logic that leads us to allowing parents to exempt? I mean, I know we've talked about that. But what are the principles here that you're going by to arrive at that conclusion?
Absolutely. Thank you for that question. And I definitely understand that concern. We had that concern as well. We added that section from the testimony that President Huggins spoke on Wednesday. And his concern, I wish he was here to speak for himself on this, but his concern was just that we should allow parents to be able to have that choice, and that there are many parents in Alaska that are concerned about who's telling, you know, their children this information, and they would much rather relay that information themselves and have control over that message. And And that's absolutely, you know, a respectable opinion as well. So typically with sex education, I spoke with the Department of Education and Early Development, and that's been a decision district by district of whether they're able to decline, whether parents are able to decline for their students, for their children to have that education as well. So it could be, the other option would be to remove that section and have it be district by district. That would be something that I know the sponsor would be absolutely supportive of.
So if this were to stay in, what are the other avenues for officials to figure out there's a problem with a child? If the parent takes the child out, I mean, this is such an embarrassing thing to even talk about, I know, for all of us, but if the parent takes the child out and the parent is the abuser, are there other avenues for helping that kid to figuring out that this is a child that needs assistance?
Thank you for that question, Mr. Chair. I think that that would be a really big red flag, honestly. I believe that a school would think, if you had a kid that was removed from this training, I would red flag that in my mind to see kind of what's going on in that family, maybe get a little bit more information. So that's one option. The other, you know, there will be publications that will be distributed through this. I was just dropped off from, let me just grab this really quick. This Making Meaningful Connections guide, this was just dropped off by Catholic Community Services yesterday in my office. And I think that there are a lot of things like this that are being distributed publicly. This is distributed by the U.S. Department of Health and Social Services. It has a section on child abuse and prevention and how to educate your children, how to look for warning signs. So I think there's a lot being done in the community outside of schools.
Sure.
And, I mean, this is an important piece of that because it would create, you know, a network, and then you'd have a lot more materials within the school itself. But I think that there are a lot of other people out there that are reaching out.
Thank you, Amy. Senator Gruner?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer an amendment to version C.
Right.
And it would be...
We have Okay, let's take a brief ideas. We have before us a CS, so we're considering an amendment. Any further questions or discussion before we get to that point? Anybody's standpoint?
I've got some things to say, but I don't know if we want to wait for the amendment, or it's up to you.
Okay, let us probably wait for the amendment. Could you help me understand the issue of a couple of times we've mentioned school employees, and we've also mentioned continuing education. So I guess my question is, who are the school employees we're talking about, and who are will all the school employees have continuing education, or just teachers?
I'd like to refer to Lori Morton on the answer for that question.
Certainly.
She wouldn't mind coming up.
Lori Morton, would you mind coming up? And we have you as a testifier later, but I think it's important we hear from you as well now. And would you identify yourself for the record?
Sure. For the record, my name is Laurie Morton. I'm the director of the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. It refers to mandatory reporters in 1866-310, which are defined as school in this particular instance, are school teachers and coaches.
So we say school employees.
So it would not be, for example, a janitor.
Mm-hmm. Teachers and coaches. That would be your identification. Your definition of school employees.
Yes.
And when we talk about continuing education, both those groups would be offered continuing education. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Further questions or comments?
Excuse me, through the chair.
Yes, Senator Levy.
On the amendment, or on the
Let's see. So we've got the changes to the CS. We also have a request for an effective date. Why don't we go ahead and do that effective date first? Would you explain that to us, Amy?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The recommendation for an effective date moved out to June 1st of 2016 would just allow for school districts to have some time to work with the council and work with their communities and implement a program using the resources that are available both nationally and locally and by the state. So it would help, you know, allow them some time to pull this together. We didn't want to make an effective date immediately. That seems unfair. So that was the recommendation.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I guess my question would be actually for Senator Dunleavy, because he's the one on this committee that's had the most experience with this. Do you think a district needs two, they can do in 2 years what can't be done in one?
Through the chair, it's always best to give a little bit of time, especially when if one understands what's coming down the pike for school districts in general across the board with new evaluations, new potentially new standards, new changing the assessments, it's a lot to. There may be a lot going on the plates of school districts, so any time they get a little bit of time to plan and incorporate, I think it's beneficial, because we're done in the mid-April, end of April. They're done, many of those schools, in another month and a half. They won't be back till the fall time, so if it's going to happen then, I don't know how they're going to get it together that quickly. So I think a little bit of lead time on all of these issues helps them.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So at this point, let's have a public hearing. We'll come back. I'll remove my objection. We will have a motion to deal with the effective date, and we'll give an opportunity to make any amendments at that time.
Just for clarification through the chair?
Yes.
We're going to be moving amendment number one, which Senator Gardner's would be amendment number two, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so.
But when we get to that.
Yes. So I move conceptual amendment number one, placing an effective date of June 1st, 2016.
Thank you. Is there any objection to that? All right, we have amendment number one. Let's go to some public hearing, and then we'll come back to amendment number two. Thank you very much, Amy. And we have, of course, Laurie Morton, and you've already spoken. Laurie, is there any further?
I was just available for questions.
Okay. Thank you very much. Department comments? All right. Do we have anybody signed up for a public hearing? Nobody? Okay, so I'll remove my objection then to adopting version C, and we've moved the conceptual amendment. And let's talk about your amendment then.
Thank you. So my amendment would, on page 2, lines 11 to 13 in the new subsection, D, remove the words decline, the words or publications, and the words on behalf of the child, and would read, a parent or guardian of a student enrolled in grades kindergarten through K may participate in the training provided in this section. And my concern, as was kind of previously suggested, is that the very children who are being victimized by somebody within the family might be taken out of the opportunity to participate in this training. It may also be that a child who's being victimized, and maybe the parents don't know, but will learn something themselves that make them understand what's going on. So in my view, information's power. It's information for the child and for the family members who might be unaware.
Thank you, Senator Gardner. So you would remove in this D, it was no longer could a parent decline training. They could participate or not.
Participate in the training provided in this section.
Okay. Discussion on that amendment.
To the chair.
Yes.
Very difficult subject. This is probably one of the toughest subjects there is to deal with, not just in education, but in any place at any time. It's a fact that there has been documented cases that, unfortunately, parents have been part of the problem, step-parents. Across the board, the bill has some incredible potential to do good and potentially bad. So the amendment, I'm just thinking out loud here.
Sure, please, go ahead.
So the amendment, if an individual, under the amendment, a parent could not decline, the state would have precedence over the training of, or education training of their child in this particular topic. If I'm reading this correctly, and I need some help from the amender.
Well, that would certainly be my interpretation that the parent could not decline. That would be taken out and inserting instead that they may participate or that they may not participate. Is that pretty much be it, Senator?
Mr. Chair, in my experience, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, a parent can take their child out of anything they want to at any time. And having this amendment, the parent is notified, given the opportunity to participate. They can, on their own informally, take their child out, just as they can take their child out of PE classes or whatever, science class, whatever they want. Really, they actually can and do. There's nothing that says, what we're saying is that the schools have to offer this. There's nothing that says every child is obligated to participate. It'd be normal course of events. With this amendment, parents would be notified. They could, on their own, just keep their child home if they chose to do so. And I think that's a downside of having this clause in at all, because the very children who we most need to meet, and I think statistics will show that most sexual assault is by somebody the child knows, and very often somebody in the home, not necessarily a parent, but somebody in the home. And I think the bill is stronger with parent participation for the very fact that somebody who is unaware of what's happening might learn themselves.
Thank you. Amy, do you have any response to this? Does this draw concerns from you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that the Senator McGuire, the bill sponsor, would be fine with that amendment. I think that would address the parent involvement. School districts do have the ability to make their own policy on whether parents can opt out of these types of trainings or not. And like you said, they can always, a parent can always take their child out of school that day as well. So I think that, the sponsor would be supportive of amending that language. And also it would address Senator Dunleavy's question about whether parents receive notification of this training. And so they would have that notification, which is good and bad, like we like the discussion.
Thank you, Amy. Further comments from the committee?
It's a tough bill.
It is tough. We do have several experts in the audience, and that was probably the law to do this. Any comments, Laurie, you have on this amendment, or folks who are dealing with this issue?
For the record, Laurie Morton, I appreciate Senator Gardner's attempt to still work with the amendment. It concerns us that it's in here just because of the discussion you've been having. One of the things I was thinking in the audience is that if a child is taken out for the day or if the parent removes the child and the child is being abused, the child will probably hear what has gone on from peers, but I think what it does is it makes the secret stronger. So the child has been told by whoever is abusing him or her, don't tell, you're going to get in trouble, and then the child is removed from this training, hears about it, knows that that's what's happening to them, but has not been allowed to participate. So I think it's difficult. In an ideal world, I would not have the amendment at all, because school districts can choose whether or not they can opt in, opt out. I think Senator Gardner's version is more palatable. I just worry that kids are going to feel more pressure to keep quiet instead of less.
Senator, please.
Again, it's a struggle, right?
It is a struggle.
I'd be curious, and I'm not trying to put anyone on the spot, but I'd be curious if anyone that's in the educational community, I see Dr. McCauley here, I see Dr. Johnson, if they have any thoughts coming from it from a teacher standpoint. In other words, what are the struggles the teachers are going to be dealing with the concept? And it's, I don't know, if through the chair, if they're interested in giving their
views. I'm willing to do that if anyone cares to speak to it. And if you'd identify yourself for the record, please.
For the record, Susan McCauley, Director of Teaching and Learning Support for the Department of Education Early Development. Rather than speculating regarding a teacher's struggles, what I might offer is that without the language that does not mean that a district could not choose to create a local policy permitting opting out, meaning that the language does not have to be in the bill for the opt-out option to still occur. There are, as was referenced, there are local policy decisions regarding other potentially sensitive curriculum topics that districts put in place at the local policy level. And then those resonate into practices about how they do parent notification, how they let parents know that a potentially sensitive topic is coming, and what provisions they make when a parent wishes to opt his or her child out. So my point is simply that, and again, that is obviously entirely your call, but it is that the language doesn't have to be in the bill for it still to occur. If it is in the bill, it then obviously requires the opt-out provision to be provided to all parents.
Well, thank you for those comments, and that does help. So if we have strong belief in the state and on local control, and districts do deal with a lot of difficult issues that they make those decisions on, there's a possibility here maybe an answer to this is to simply strike that entire Section D and eliminate the amendment, strike the section. And your suggestion is that if we were to do that, it would say this is up to the districts to figure out.
Chair Stevens, it would, as would many state-level policies that leave ambiguous what must be done. They make clear, what this bill makes clear is that a mandatory curriculum for students in grades kindergarten through 12 must be in place. That is different than what is currently required. Current language recommends, the word specifically is recommends that a curriculum be in place. But this would require that. It wouldn't make, without the language that was added today, it wouldn't make any comment then on whether or not an opt-out provision is provided. A district would be free to do that or to not do that. The bill would make no comment on it without this language.
Thank you, Senator Gardner.
I'm curious about the language of having a curriculum in place versus mandating that the curriculum actually be used.
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, my apologies, I didn't bring my folder up with me, and so I'd have to go right back to the bill language itself and look specifically at what it says regarding the curriculum.
Let's get a copy to you there. Thank you, Les.
If I might, through the chair, Senator Gardner, it says the governing body of each school district shall adopt and implement a policy, establishing a mandatory training program for students. I'm focusing on the students part here. The word implement, to the way I interpret that, is provide the education to children.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions?
Mr. Chair, I would like to withdraw my amendment.
Any objection? If there is no objection, we'll withdraw that amendment, Senator Gardner.
Without prejudice. Did you have an amendment, or would you like me to make it?
I would be glad to accept another amendment if someone would care to. I mean, where we are is we're near the end. This is an important bill. I'd like to see it move forward. It does go to finance next. I don't want to do a haphazard job of on this bill. I think we need to have it as good as possible. But this does give us a little more time to discuss this issue. And you're thinking of removing D, is that correct?
Exactly.
In which case, I'd
offer an amendment that on page 2, lines 11 to 13, strike subsection D.
Thank you. Is there any objection to that? Okay, then we will strike subsection D, and I appreciate everyone's work on it. Further comments? We've taken care of the amendments, and any other discussion from the committee standpoint? Senator, if we have a motion then.
Sure. Through the chair, I move SB 216, work draft 28-LS16717, version C, as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Thank you. And just as a reminder, we have added the conceptual amendment on the effective date, and we have taken out section D. Is there any objection to moving this bill? Thank you. Take a brief at ease. Come before us. If not, we're adjourned.
He was lost in the.